Hi, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub.
It's day 13 of the Dog Days of Podcasting. It's Sunday, so I'm offering a Sunday brunch piece. I originally wrote it last year. I thought about writing something new that would address the events in Charlottesville this weekend, but I am beyond words at this point. And so I'm sharing a piece that I wrote last year in response to the Black Lives Matter demonstrations in Dallas and to the Pulse shootings in Orlando and to a number of other issues. And I hope you'll bear with me for it being a year old, but I think despite the specific events mentioned, it still has a universality that is really important. Sunday brunch, processing the unimaginable.
There are moments that the words don't reach. There is suffering too terrible to name. You hold your child as tight as you can and push away the unimaginable.
My adopted city, Dallas, is in mourning and hot tears leak from my eyes at random moments. My heart is still sore from the mass shooting at Pulse in Orlando last month. My friends, gay, straight, cis, trans, black, brown, white, male, female, liberal, conservative, and those who fall into their own positions on a multitude of spectra, are all facing their own bouts of heartsickness, reacting either to events that hurt our communities or other, more personal losses.
The moments when you're in so deep, it feels easier to just swim down.
We turn to social media for information, for solace, for the sense that even if we are geographically separate from the people we most love, the digital world keeps us together.
And learn to live with the unimaginable.
And we are overwhelmed. Or at least I am. It's easy enough to switch the channel away from CNN or the local news, to turn off cable entirely and step into the reality-free bubble of endless streaming episodes of comfort television. For me, that includes Gilmore Girls, Star Trek The Next Generation, and even, though some might think it odd, pretty much anything Aaron Sorkin ever wrote. Much more difficult is disconnecting from the internet. I live so much of my life online that ignoring email is like ignoring a ringing telephone, and taking a step back from Twitter or Facebook is tantamount to taking up residence in a cave in the wilderness. But there are times when taking a break is the best thing, the only thing I can do if I want to retain any semblance of sanity. And believe me, I use that term loosely. And it's then that I turn to music. If my life was a movie, it would be a musical. I was singing before I could talk, and I often tell people that I think in music. More accurately, I think in songs. My tastes are many, even eclectic, and my inner soundtrack varies often. Sometimes I blast old-school rock, and other times I find the greatest release in classical music. Several years ago, when my nephew was dying, I listened to Melissa Etheridge's cover of Hallelujah, Bette Midler's version of I Think It's Gonna Rain Today, and a gospel choir rendition of the Beatles' Let It Be over and over. A couple of decades before that, I got through the days after my grandfather's funeral with endless repeats of Barbra Streisand singing Papa, Can You Hear Me?
They don't pretend to know the challenges we're facing. I know there's no replacing what we've lost.
I turn to folk music and show tunes more than any other kind of music. I like them because they have the strongest stories, because they have accessible melodies and, usually, discernible lyrics, and because when it hurts too much to be myself, they give me characters to play, even if it's only for 3 minutes and 14 seconds at a time. I fill my head with music. I stand in the living room and sing. I know all the choreography. I dance with my dogs. Teddy's old enough to be a partner, even though he's not very good at leading. I remember random snippets of things that matter, like Noel Paul Stuckey, the Paul in Peter, Paul, and Mary, suggesting to a concert audience that all candidates for public office should be required to sing for their constituents, because while all adults are adept at lying when we speak, it's almost impossible to lie while singing. I watch as celebrity after celebrity releases a tribute song.
There are moments that the words don't reach. There's a grace to powerful to name. We push away what we can never understand. We push away the unimaginable.
I used to mock those celebrity tribute songs. Now I listen to them, and if I really like them, I buy them. Why? Because celebrities are just people. They're ordinary people with extraordinary jobs, and writing a song or joining a chorus of other celebrity singers is really no different than what I do in my living room, except on a grander scale and with the potential to also earn money for a designated charity.
Forgiveness. Can you imagine?
The tears continue to flow as I listen to the song that's helping me most right now. It's Quiet Uptown, from the soundtrack of Hamilton, an American musical. While it's technically about Alexander and Eliza reeling from the death of their son, there's a universality in the emotions of the song and in the concept of pushing through the worst grief, accepting that the unimaginable happens, and coming, finally, to a place of forgiveness and understanding.
Forgiveness. Can you imagine?
I'm not quite ready to interact with the world yet. I haven't sorted out all of my own feelings about the last few days, and my emotions are raw and too close to the surface. I do know, though, that we have to, all of us, as Americans, as humans, find a way to come together and move forward and make positive change. It's possible we'll do that with laws and policies, but maybe, just maybe, we'll do it instead with art and writing and music. Peter, Paul, and Mary sang that music was better than words because it's the only thing that the whole world listens to. I believe they were right.
Forgiveness. Can you imagine?
Whether it's Angry Girl Rock that helps us find our inner strength, a lullaby sung to a fretful or fearful child, or a silly pop tune that helps us rediscover joy even in the midst of sorrow, music is the language that lives in our deepest hearts. Plug in those earbuds or turn up that stereo. Choose vintage vinyl or stick with the modern technology that lets us hold entire catalogs of albums in the palms of our hands. Find the song that works for you and play it on auto-repeat or pick it out on a piano or guitar. Sing it in the streets or sing it in the shower. That's what I'm doing. At least for now. If I'm quiet. If I don't write strings of words about what's going on in the world, but repost the writings of a few other voices I resonate with, please understand that I'm still processing the unimaginable events that have hurt my community, my friends, and me. Most likely, everyone else around me is doing the same. The song lyrics that you hear in the clips are from It's Quiet Uptown from Hamilton, an American musical. Music and lyrics by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Bathtub Mermaid, Tales from the Tub is written by Melissa A. Bartel under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike International 4.0 license and is produced using Bostock and Audacity. For show notes, music credits, and transcripts, please visit www.bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or you can send an email to Miss Melisse, M-I-S-S-M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, @gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.